anyone following the rhythms of the liturgy, the daily liturgy, the seasonal liturgy, knows that we're in the Christmas season. We're near the very end. 2 more days after today. So people who are following that liturgical spirit will be taken a little by surprise when they encounter today's feast day, which is the feast day of Jesus Nazareno. Used to be called the Black Nazarene, but now we're told don't call him the Black Nazarene anymore, but everyone calls him Black Nazarene. Anyway, Jesus Nazareno, the devotion associated with the church in Quiapo and the huge procession taking place today. So we have to acknowledge that this feast day isn't chosen because it's the Christmas season. It's independently chosen. It goes with January 9th because on January 9th is when the image was transferred back in the 18th century from one church in Manila to another church in Manila. I think from Intramuros to Quiapo or something like that. The details of it are written in the Ordo here, but I don't understand it completely. It talks about where the image originally came from Mexico. Here this says, brought the... In the 17th century, a dark image of Jesus Christ carrying the cross, known as the Nuestro Padre Jesus Nazareno, was brought to Manila by a galleon from Mexico. The image was enshrined in the first church of the Recoletos at Bagumbayan, Luneta, and then to the church of St. Nicholas Tolentino in Intramuros. The devotion to Jesus Nazareno became very popular and led to the establishment of the Cofradia de Jesus Nazareno, which was recognized by Pope Innocent X in 1650. So this goes way, way back. Between 1767 and 1787, the replica of the image was transferred to Quiapo Church. Pope Pius VII bestowed the apostolic blessing to those who venerate this image. January 9th eventually became known as the Feast of Jesus Nazareno. So it's not chosen because it's Christmas time, it's chosen because it's January 9th. Which is not that unusual in the liturgy. I mean, saints' days fall on the days when they fall. If you want to have the Feast of St. Joseph on March 19th, it's not because it's during Lent. It's because it's March 19th. It just happens to fall in Lent most of the time. Or maybe a better example, the Annunciation falls on March 25th. Well, that's usually during Lent. It's not chosen because it's during Lent, but because it's 9 months before Christmas. Okay, so here we have this feast day. And it's a beautiful feast, and it has deep roots in Filipino culture. I couldn't help but think back to my visit to Spain in November, because when I got to Spain, I discovered that the religious imagery there is all very Filipino. You know, I grew up in the United States where we don't have images with hair and clothing. In my parish church, there's a big image of the foot of the cross, where there's Jesus on the cross, Mary and John. But they're just wooden carved statues. No paint, they're just the color of the wood, maybe varnished wood. There's an image of the Sacred Heart. Again, wood, St. Joseph, wood. I think the crucifix is painted. And I think the image of Our Lady, Mary's usually painted blue and white. But other than the little bit of paint, I'm not used to that kind of a ornamentation. So when I got to the Philippines, and images, I have lots of golden crowns and jewels and fancy clothing, I had to adjust. Well, when I got to Spain, I said, oh, it's all like that. That's where the Filipino style came from. But I don't remember in Spain seeing any image of Jesus Nazareno. Maybe I just didn't have my eyes open, or maybe he's not that popular there. But here in the Philippines, you can find Jesus Nazareno everywhere. And especially now that the feast day has been placed on the calendar for the whole country, you will see many more images of Jesus Nazareno. I was at the parish here last night to have a mass, and after the mass, of course, they get ready for the next day's liturgy. And I saw the parish staff lugging out this big statue of the Sacred Heart. And I said, oh, why are you bringing out the Sacred Heart? And they said, because tomorrow's Friday. And I said, well, what about Jesus Nazareno? And they said, we don't have a Nazareno. So they don't have a Nazareno in this parish. Probably one of the only parishes that doesn't have one. Anyway, by next year, I bet they'll have one. Because this feast, even though it's very old, is also very new. It's old because it goes back to the 17th century, and the devotion is old. But it wasn't on the calendar until, it was decided in 2023. So on January 9, 2024, would have been the first official national celebration of the feast. But nobody knew about it, so I don't think anybody did it, unless you're in Quiapo. But in 2025, last year, it was already established. So last year was the first time probably we had it in this chapel, and this is the second year, and it will grow. Now that it's on the calendar, everybody is required to celebrate on January 9th, then it will happen. So like I say, it's old and it's new. The attention of most people on this feast day is to the huge crowds of people in Quiapo, and the analysts will say there's some kind of a hysteria there or some kind of a superstition there, and perhaps there's some elements of that, but that isn't enough to explain the devotion. And I think it's better to look at it from the standpoint of how devotion grows. And we see this in every place where there's a popular shrine or a popular image. People go where they encounter God. People go where they encounter miracles. People go where their prayers are answered. They're not stupid. They're not irrational. People respond to the gift that's given. So the attraction to Jesus Nazareno is not just hysteria, because that wouldn't last. It wouldn't happen year after year. It comes from devotion, comes from connection to God. I saw this in so many places in Spain and Portugal. Deeply rooted devotion for centuries. And they'll say, well, it started because this image was found in a boat or something. This image was found in a forest and they couldn't move it, so they built a church there. So, well, that sounds kind of magical. But it must have happened like that, because people aren't stupid. They wouldn't just go there for no reason. You can't force devotion. We've tried it with our image of Our Lady of the Liturgical Life. We've carried the image around the neighborhood, and we promoted the prayer to Our Lady of the Liturgical Life. And yes, people recognize there's something holy about the image, but there's nobody flocking to the image because of miraculous cures. If people were miraculously cured, people would flock to the image. That's just natural. So, I say this phenomenon in Quiapo, we have to respect as part of how God is attracting people to himself. Now, the liturgy for today, this is a little bit strange. I think the church got caught unprepared, because there's no liturgy for the Feast of Nazareno. They said, just use the liturgy for the exaltation of the Holy Cross, September 14th. So that's what we use. The prayers and the readings, the liturgy of the hours, everything today is all September 14th. Now, of course, it's connected, because the exaltation of the Holy Cross is Jesus on the cross, and the Jesus Nazareno is Jesus carrying the cross. So it's the same Jesus, it's the same cross. It's the same passion. But it's not the same moment, it's not the same focal point. And I think it's unfortunate that the church hasn't figured that out, because the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross focuses on Jesus crucified and Jesus pierced, Jesus at the moment of his death, the pouring out of his life, and the blood and water. But Jesus Nazareno is not dead. He's a suffering figure carrying the cross. So the idea that the reading today was all about the serpent that Moses lifted up on the pole, and Jesus said, the Son of Man has to be lifted up. Well, Jesus Nazareno is not lifted up, right? He's still carrying. So it would be better to take a passage about take up your cross and follow me. And that's what the devotion is. Take up your cross and follow me. I'm carrying the cross, and I'm not defeated by it, so you too can carry the cross and follow me. That's why it's a procession. We're following the procession of Tras Pasion is not just historical reenactment. It's a devotional way of saying, I am also taking up my cross and I'm following you who carry the cross. And because you carry the cross, I can carry my cross. It's a genuine Christian devotion. But as I say, the readings of the Mass today don't really focus on that. They're focusing on Jesus lifted up, like the serpent in the desert. Maybe we can take from the first reading this description of the people who were complaining with their patience worn out by the journey. The people complained against God and Moses with their patience worn out by the journey. We can understand what that means, because when we are burdened, when we're suffering, our patience gets worn out. Sometimes we're not aware of it right away, but when we snap at someone in the house or we react badly, then we realize, oh, I can see that I'm irritable. My patience is worn out by the journey. I'm overworked, I'm stressed, I'm disappointed, or I'm suffering, and now it's coming out with my complaining. This is where devotion to Jesus Nazareno can be a great help, because you look at that image of Jesus carrying the cross, he's not worn out by the journey. He's not complaining. One of the beautiful things about that image is the nobility of Jesus as he carries the cross. He's a suffering man, but he's not broken by the suffering. This is not Jesus in agony. This is Jesus with a kind of regal dignity carrying out his mission. That's why he has this royal maroon vestment and gold ornamentation and the gold crown. He's a king who's taking on his shoulders the burden of responsibility for his kingdom. It's a great combination of, or every image of Jesus, every authentic understanding of Jesus always has two sides, right? God and man. Jesus is God and man. This is Christmas season. We're celebrating God became man. The Word became flesh. Yes, he's eternally begotten of the Father, but he's also born in Bethlehem. He's powerful and he's weak. He's eternal and he's temporal. He's God and man. So images of Jesus try to capture this, and I think the Jesus Nazareno does this. He's certainly a king. You can see it in his face, and you can see it in his crown and his way of carrying himself. He's head up. He's strong, but he's also suffering. He's not standing up. He's down on one knee. Or, I don't know if he's in the process of falling or process of getting up. I don't know that part of the devotion, but I think he's on one knee, because one foot is sticking out the back. That's what people like to touch the foot. There's even a name for that devotion in Tagalog. You kiss the foot. Anyway, so it's Jesus in the process of the passion. Yes, he's getting up from falling, or he's falling under the weight, under the burden, but he is persevering. It seems that makes it very popular to the Filipinos, who are persevering people, a culture that's very, very resilient in the face of suffering. And maybe that's why I didn't see any Jesus Nazareno images in Spain. Maybe they don't have that same quality. But in the Philippines, this image of a suffering but persevering savior resonates deeply. You can't say we're not suffering. You can't say everything's fine. Earthquakes, floods, typhoons, and aside from natural disasters, there's man-made disasters. So we can't say we're not suffering. Yes, we're all burdened under a cross. But we can't say that we're defeated by suffering either. And that's a beautiful thing. That I think is the fruit of faith. People with faith still suffer, but they can persevere. There's a basis for which they can continue to carry the cross. Their patience is not worn out by the journey. They're not complaining against God and Moses. They're saying, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. But Lord, your will be done. You tell me to take up my cross and follow you. Okay. I may not understand it. I might not like it. But I'll keep smiling. That's Filipino style. Keep smiling and keep going. So that, I think, is beautiful. And the devotion to Jesus Nazareno seems to be connected to that cultural value, cultural strength. The gospel today, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, he doesn't say anything about carrying the cross. He doesn't say anything about suffering. What he does say is that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. That he's the key to eternal life. Everyone who believes in the Son of Man, everyone who believes in the one God, the Father, sent into the world because he so loved the world, those who believe have eternal life. Because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Even if we might feel condemned to suffering, the ultimate purpose of God is not that we suffer. He sent his Son into the world so that the world might be saved through him. It's our confidence in that love of God, it's our belief in Jesus that makes it possible to persevere in the desert journey without letting our patience get worn out. So if the image of Jesus Nazareno helps us do that, well then, good, good. If it's just superstition, it won't last. That won't bear fruit. If it's just hysteria, after everyone goes home, they forget about it. But genuine devotion, genuine connection to Jesus and the decision to follow him, that's real Christianity. So that's what we celebrate today in this feast. The whole country celebrates the feast now, and so we celebrate it here. We ask Jesus, Jesus Nazareno, to help us persevere in carrying the cross.